I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This grassroots movement of atomic bomb survivors from Hiroshima and Nagasaki, also known as Hibakusha, is receiving the Peace Prize for its efforts to achieve a world free of nuclear weapons.
A Japanese group of atomic bomb survivors, Nihon Hidankyo, the Hibakusha, has won the Nobel Peace Prize as fears grow of a new nuclear arms race. The head of the group has compared Gaza today to Japan 80 years ago. But first to Lebanon. We'll speak with a doctor who recently worked in Gaza as UN investigators accuse Israel of committing the crime of extermination for relentlessly and deliberately attacking medical personnel and facilities in Gaza. Finally, The Apprentice, the movie Trump doesn't want you to see, opens today in theaters despite legal threats from the former president. The film looks at how Trump was mentored by Roy Cohn, the former chief counsel to Senator Joseph McCarthy during the Red Scare.
Roy Cohn, nice to meet you.
You, Roy Cohn, you're brutal.
Guilty as charged.
I didn't always win it.
There's rules. The first rule is attack, attack, attack.
It's going to be the finest building in the city, maybe the country, in the world.
Rule two, admit nothing, deny everything.
We'll speak with the director of The Apprentice, the Iranian-Danish filmmaker Ali Abbasi. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Lebanon's caretaker Prime Minister Najib Mikati is calling for a UN resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire as Israel intensifies its assault on Lebanon. Israeli airstrikes Thursday killed at least 22 people and injured more than 100 others in a crowded residential area of central Beirut. Survivors recounted the terror of Israel's overnight strikes as they surveyed the damage to their homes.
I was praying. We heard the first strike and I thought it was in my house. The second one was much more powerful than the first one. People went down barefoot. They were screaming. We didn't know anything at the start. I went to see where the strike was and I saw that in my house, the glass and windows had shattered. We came and saw this scene. It was a horrifying scene. It was something unbelievable.
Meanwhile, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres condemned multiple targeted shootings of UN peacekeepers by Israel in southern Lebanon. At least two peacekeepers, Indonesian, have been injured. Such attacks violate international law. A UN official warned the safety of more than 10,400 peacekeepers in Lebanon was, quote, increasingly in jeopardy, unquote, from Israel's attacks. This is Andrea Tenenti, spokesperson for the UN Interim Force in Lebanon.
We are there because the Security Council has asked us to be there. So we are staying until the situation becomes impossible for us to operate. This is not a conflict between Israel and Hezbollah. This is becoming a regional conflict, something that we have been saying for a very long time. And if it's a regional conflict, everybody will be involved. So it's a duty for everyone to stop it, because we already seen just in the last few weeks how many people have been killed here, more than the conflict in 2006, in just a few weeks.
This comes amidst fresh warnings of a deteriorating health crisis in Lebanon due to massive displacement and the Israeli targeting of health facilities and workers. After headlines, we'll speak with a U.S. doctor in Beirut who's been volunteering in Gaza and Lebanon. In Gaza, medical authorities report Israeli attacks killed at least 63 Palestinians Thursday as Israel continues its siege of the northern Gaza Strip. The situation at three hospitals in northern Gaza remains critical as medical workers struggle to respond to forced expulsions ordered by Israel. Dr. Hassam Abu Safia, director of Kamel Adwan Hospital, filmed this video from inside the intensive care unit Thursday.
We're here under threat because our hospital will go out of service due to the continuous threats to evacuate the hospital and due to the lack of entry of fuel to the Kamel Adwan Hospital. From here, from the middle of the intensive care unit, I call on all the international organizations and humanitarian organizations and the international community to stop the occupiers from implementing their decision to evacuate the Kamel Adwan Hospital and seizing its services. Stopping the Kamel Adwan Hospital from providing services means the ending of these children's lives.
A United Nations commission has concluded for the second time this year Israel's, quote, committing war crimes and the crime against humanity of extermination with relentless and deliberate attacks on medical personnel and facilities, unquote. In related news, the Belgium-based Hinderjob Foundation this week filed what it called an unprecedented and historic complaint with the International Criminal Court against 1,000 Israeli soldiers for war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide in Gaza. Al Jazeera says its camera operator, Fedi Ouahidi, remains in critical condition after he was shot in the neck by an Israeli sniper while reporting from Jabalia. It's been a bloody week for media workers in Gaza. Journalist Omar Abalawi, who was also a celebrated teacher to Gaza's children, was shot and killed by Israeli forces, also in Jabalia Wednesday. Over the past year, Abalawi kept his beloved English classes going amidst displacement, the destruction of his home, and the death of his family members. In Israel, the courts reportedly ordered the release of U.S. journalist Jeremy Lofredo after he was detained earlier this week and held on alleged, quote, suspicion of serious security offenses, unquote, after he reported on Iran's ballistic missile attacks on military and intelligence sites in Israel. Three other journalists were also detained with Lofredo, but released soon after. Lofredo is reportedly being barred from leaving Israel for now. A Ukrainian journalist who went missing more than a year ago while reporting from eastern Ukraine has died in Russian custody. Victoria Rozhina last made contact with her editors in August of 2023 while reporting from the Russian-occupied Zaporizhia region. Her father says he received notice she died in a Russian prison September 19th and that her body would be returned to Ukraine. No other details of her death were provided. The Committee to Protect Journalists reports at least 16 media workers have been killed covering the war in Ukraine since Russia's invasion in 2022. In Florida, more than 2.5 million customers remain without power this morning as the damage from Hurricane Milton became clearer. At least 16 people killed, widespread wind and water damage to homes and businesses, and severe levels of erosion that will permanently alter Florida's coastline. The Fitch Ratings Group warns Milton could cause Florida property owners up to $50 billion in insured losses. This is Calvin Lee Hamilton, a resident of St. Lucie County on Florida's Atlantic coast, where tornadoes spawned by Milton tore through a retirement community, killing six people.
I try to get prepared for the hurricane, then the tornado hit. I'm like, the tornado hit before the hurricane. This is a double disaster.
In Colombia, election officials have requested an investigation into the 2022 campaign of President Gustavo Petro over alleged violations of financing limits. Officials are also accusing Petro of receiving funds from, quote, prohibited sources of financing. President Petro has denied the accusations and warned of a plot to remove him from power through the courts. In Haiti, heavily armed gunmen invaded the coastal town of Arakahe on Thursday, burning homes and firing on residents. The attack came just 1 week after gang members massacred at least 115 people in the nearby town of Ponsonde. Over 700,000 people have been displaced by gang violence in Haiti, triggering the largest food crisis in the Western Hemisphere, with over 5 million Haitians, nearly half the population, going hungry. Earlier today, Kenya's President William Ruto met with Haitian Prime Minister Gary Conille in Nairobi. After the talks, Ruto said he would send another 600 police officers to Haiti to bolster a Kenyan-led, UN-authorized mission to fight Haitian gangs. A new report from the United Nations Children's Agency finds one out of every eight girls alive today, some 370 million people, will experience rape or sexual assault before they turn 18. That shocking figure is even worse for girls living in so-called fragile settings like refugee camps or conflict zones, where one in four face sexual violence. UNICEF Executive Director Catherine Russell called the findings a stain on our moral conscience and warned rape and gender-based violence are often used as weapons of war. Here in the United States, the Justice Department says TD Bank will pay more than $3 billion in fines after pleading guilty to federal money laundering charges. Two TD Bank employees have also been criminally charged. Federal prosecutors say TD Bank became the go-to institution for narco traffickers and human smugglers, including one case where workers received tens of thousands of dollars in gift cards as bribes from a man who laundered more than $470 million in illicit funds through TD Bank branches here in the United States. In Texas, two people were killed and nearly three dozen treated for chemical exposure Thursday following a leak of toxic hydrogen sulfide gas at a Houston area oil refinery operated by Pemex, the Mexican state-owned petroleum company. Authorities issued a shelter-in-place order for Deer Park and neighboring Pasadena for several hours, telling residents to seal doors and windows and turn off air conditioners. Thursday's disaster comes less than a month after hundreds of Deer Park families were forced to evacuate their homes after a pipeline explosion sent a massive column of fire and toxic smoke into the sky. In Ithaca, New York, a PhD student is no longer at risk of deportation for his Gaza solidarity activism after Cornell allowed him to re-enroll, thereby extending his visa. Cornell had suspended Mamadou Tal for participating in a campus protest calling on Cornell to divest from Israel, but a public pressure campaign demanded the Ivy League school end their political campaign against Tal. In a statement, Mamadou Tal said, quote, "I have no regrets. There will never come a time where I will say to myself that I went too hard for Gaza. We still haven't done near enough to stop the genocide," he said. Students are continuing to organize across college campuses with protest vigils and other actions under the banner of a week of rage to mark 1 year of war against Gaza. And the 2024 Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded to the Japanese group Nihon Hidankyo, a grassroots group of atomic bomb survivors from Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The anti-nuclear activists known as Hibakusha, atomic bomb survivors, are being recognized for their, quote, efforts to achieve a world free of nuclear weapons and for demonstrating through witness testimony that nuclear weapons must never be used again, unquote. After the prize was announced, the co-chair of Nihon Hidankyo, Toshiyuki Mimaki, spoke to reporters in Tokyo and said, quote, "In Gaza, bleeding children are being held by their parents. It's like in Japan 80 years ago." We'll have more on this year's Nobel Peace Prize later in the broadcast. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A team of United Nations experts has accused Israel of committing war crimes and the crime of extermination for its, quote, relentless and deliberate attacks on medical personnel and facilities, unquote. This comes as medical authorities in Gaza report Israel has killed at least 63 more Palestinians amidst an intensifying siege on the northern Gaza Strip. The situation at three hospitals in northern Gaza remains critical as medical workers struggle to respond to forced expulsions ordered by Israel. The director of Kamel Adwan Hospital, Dr. Hussam Abu Safia, filmed this video from inside the intensive care unit on Thursday.
We're here under threat because our hospital will go out of service due to the continuous threats to evacuate the hospital and due to the lack of entry of fuel to the Kamal Adwan Hospital. From here, from the middle of the intensive care unit, I call on all the international organizations and humanitarian organizations and the international community to stop the occupiers from implementing their decision to evacuate the Kamal Adwan Hospital and seizing its services. Stopping the Kamal Adwan Hospital from providing services means the ending of these children's lives.
We're joined right now by Dr. Bing Li, an emergency medicine physician based in Arizona, who worked at the Indonesian hospital in the north of Gaza as a volunteer with Rama Worldwide. Dr. Li is a U.S. Army veteran. She's joining us now from Beirut, Lebanon, where she's working to increase healthcare capacities as a volunteer with Med Global. Dr. Bing Li, thank you so much for being with us. If you can start on the situation in Gaza.
Thank you, Amy. So the situation, especially in North Gaza, has been incredibly heartbreaking for those of us that volunteered and met many of the people that work in North Gaza in these three hospitals. And for me, at Indonesian Hospital, where I spent 2 weeks, these people that chose to stay in North Gaza, the doctors, the nurses, the administrators, even the janitors, they stayed because they knew that they needed to be there for their patients. They are the most impressive people, the most courageous, and the most principled people that I have ever met. And it has been incredibly hard to hear their stories right now. They are people that never complain, that have unlimited patience, that showed us generosity. Usually when I ask them, how are you doing? Are you okay? They always say, thank God, I am fine. There's no complaint. The other day, one of them reached out to me to ask how I was doing because of the hurricanes, and he was concerned that in the U.S. that it wasn't safe because of these hurricanes that are happening. And what is happening now, this is the first time that I have heard many of these people be concerned to show complaints. The medical director at Indonesian Hospital, he says that there are over 40 patients that are trapped inside the hospital, that it is unsafe for them to go anywhere, unsafe for them to step outside to try to evacuate these patients. They are running out of food, running out of water. There already was such a limited amount of medical supplies and medications during the time that we were working there in June, and those are now running out. They're running out of fuel for electricity, for the ventilators that keep patients breathing on machines. There are 17 staff that are trapped with them that are just doing daily what they can. They've been trapped now for 5 days, unable to leave the hospital. And the other doctors are unable to come in to relieve them because one of them told me he was trying to travel to the hospital to be there. And in front of him, he saw an ambulance get struck by a missile. And so it was unsafe for him to continue passing. They tell me that it feels like death is everywhere. The smell of death is everywhere. They have nowhere safe to go. One of the medical students, a 20-year-old who has been worked every day very hard, always trying to take care of patients, he's telling me that his family has been displaced now 4 times in the past 3 days, that there are bombs going off constantly around them in the homes next door. They're not sure where they might go next.
Let me ask you about...
Let me ask you about
the group Medical Aid for Palestinians, who says it's removed newborn babies from Kamal Adwan, but that ambulances are being detained at military checkpoints as they attempt to reach Gaza City. The humanitarian group warned the world must act before Gaza is erased entirely. Now, Dr. Bing Li, you did not work at Kamal Adwan, but it was your referral center for OBGYN and pediatric cases. Your response to this news of the infants?
This is incredibly concerning. We must remember that when we say that a hospital, especially in North Gaza, is being told to evacuate, it's not the same as you're going from one hospital that is fully functional to another hospital that is fully functional. Because the healthcare system has been devastated to this extent, both Kamal Adwan Hospital and Indonesian Hospital, they have been forced to close multiple times. Not only have they been directly hit by bombs, but then they are occupied by a ground invasion, and so it becomes unsafe to continue to operate. And then what is impressive is that the healthcare administrators the healthcare leaders come together and they open up these hospitals in 1 week, in 2 weeks time. When we arrived at Indonesian hospital, they were able to open up two floors, the ER and the surgical floor, within 2 weeks of the occupying force having left. So with this piecemeal way that people are coming together and making things work, we rely on these different hospitals to work together. So Kamal Adwan Hospital was the only hospital that was receiving pediatric patients that could take very sick patients into their ICU. They have a nutrition center to help the extremely malnourished children that can't be released, that would die without IV support and die without hospital nutritional support. And they also took in the OB patients, the pregnant women, and the neonatal patients. So as an ER physician, it's very concerning to me to hear that there are children that are this young, that are babies, infants, that are being told they need to evacuate to be transported to other facilities, because I think this is impossible. There's nowhere else for them to go. This was the only facility that was in that area. And I know that the UN forces and the Palestinian Red Crescent that has been trying to get up to that area to try to evacuate these patients, they've not been allowed through. Another point that many people do not realize when they hear about North Gaza and South Gaza is that they are completely divided. It is about as hard to get from outside Gaza into South Gaza as it is to get from South Gaza to North Gaza. There is a whole new border, a whole military blockade between the North and the South, and that is why we say that it's different. Virtually no aid, virtually no help is allowed into North Gaza at this time. And so these children that are being told to evacuate, these patients, there simply isn't the infrastructure, there isn't the equipment present and the safety present for them to go anywhere, for them to be put on an ambulance and safely be transported to another facility that doesn't exist. It's essentially a death sentence for these infants, for these very young children that need a high level of care, that need ICU levels of care.
This is the director of the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, Ramesh Rajasingham.
Critical items are awaiting approval for entry. Our access is restricted. For example, yesterday, OCHA and the World Health Organization tried to reach northern Gaza to support the Kamal Adwan Hospital after Israeli authorities offered its immediate evacuation. And after receiving a green light from the Israeli authorities for the mission, the team was forced to wait at a holding point for hours, and ultimately the mission had to be aborted. And that's not an unusual practice. In September, less than 10% of coordinated missions to the north were facilitated by the Israeli authorities.
So that's the director of UN Office for Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, Ramesh Rajasingham. Dr. Bingley, if you can respond to that. And also, the UN chief, Antonio Guterres, saying he's written directly to the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, warning him against dismantling the UN agency tasked with providing food and health care and social services to Palestinians in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. Two bills under consideration in Israel's parliament would prevent UNRWA from continuing its essential work. Guterres said passage of the legislation would be a catastrophe in what's already an unmitigated disaster. As you worked in these hospitals in the north and south of Gaza, the role of UNRWA in helping them?
So it's extremely alarming that already when we're working in these hospitals, there's already so little aid, so little supplies that are coming in. To take away what little is left is essentially, again, a death sentence for anybody there who requires medical care, who requires this kind of help. When we were working in North Gaza, already in South Gaza, I spent 2 weeks in the south when we first arrived. It's already a very difficult place to work. It's already overburdened. There's already very few supplies. And then when you go to the north, there's even a fraction of that. And I'm not surprised that the border has been difficult, that aid hasn't been getting through, because I know we waited for hours both ways to be able to allow it through. It's extremely difficult for medical aid, for these teams to make it through. I think we were the first team in many months to make it to that area of the north. And to dismantle UNRWA, which is the main support, the main lifeline for these Palestinians, even before the war, they were the ones that fed 50% of the population, provided services, provided education. It's just another example of the violation of humanitarian law and these humanitarian rights
Dr. Bingley, I want to get to Lebanon. We only have a few minutes where you are right now. Interestingly, you worked at Indonesian Hospital, which was originally set up by Indonesia for Gaza. And in the south of Lebanon, the two UN peacekeepers who were shot, who were injured, are Indonesian UN peacekeepers in southern Lebanon. But you're in central Beirut, where a mass explosion rocked the city. Dozens of people were killed, more than 100 injured. Can you describe the situation on the ground there?
So a lot of anxiety, a lot of families that don't know what is going to happen next, where they should go, if they should try to stay. I'm here with Med Global at the moment, and we're helping to build the healthcare capacity of Lebanon, working with the Ministry of Public Health to try to bring in more supplies to help support the capacity of some hospitals that have been identified as those that will be most helpful in case these crises continue to happen, in case there continue to be mass casualties. And when this blast in Beirut happened, I was actually in Sidon, which is in Saida, which is south, maybe about an hour south of Beirut, and talking to hospitals about their needs, doing needs assessments, and seeing what kind of services we can provide to those hospitals.
I want to thank you so much for being with us, emergency medicine physician based in Arizona who worked at the Indonesian hospital in the north of Gaza and is volunteer with Rama Worldwide. She's now in Beirut, Lebanon, volunteering with Med Global. Dr. Lee is a U.S. Army veteran. Coming up, the Nobel Peace Prize is awarded to a Japanese group of atomic bomb survivors. The head of the group has said Gaza today looks like Japan 80 years ago. Stay with us. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Today, the 2024 Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to the Japanese group Nihon Hidankyo, a grassroots organization of survivors of the U.S. atomic bombing of Hiroshima on August 6, 1945, and Nagasaki 3 days later on August 9, 1945. The survivors of the only two nuclear bombs ever used in conflict went on to dedicate their lives to struggle for a nuclear-free world for nearly 8 decades. Known as Hibakusha, the atomic bomb survivors are being recognized for, quote, demonstrating through witness testimony that nuclear weapons must never be used again. The Nobel Committee noted the taboo against nuclear weapons use now, quote, was now under pressure. This is Nobel Committee Chair Jürgen Wagner Friednes.
Next year will mark 80 years since two American atomic bombs killed an estimated of 120,000 inhabitants of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. A comparable number died of burn and radiation injuries in the months and years that followed. Today's nuclear weapons have far greater destructive power. They can kill millions and would impact the climate catastrophically. A nuclear war could destroy our civilization.
After the Nobel Peace Prize was announced, the co-chair of Nihon Hidankyo, Toshiyuki Mimaki, spoke to reporters in Tokyo.
What? Nihon Hidankyo? How did Nihon Hidankyo? It can't be real.
We will appeal to the world, as we always have done, for the abolition of nuclear weapons and the achievement of an everlasting peace. One Nihon Hidankyo. I thought for sure it would be the people working so hard in Gaza, as we've seen.
That was Toshiyuki Mimaki, the co-chair of Nihon Hidankyo, which won the 2024 Nobel Peace Prize today. He wept as he spoke. He went on to say, quote, in Gaza, bleeding children are being held by their parents. It's like in Japan 80 years ago. For more, we go to Boston, where we're joined by Joseph Gerson, longtime peace and disarmament activist who has worked closely with Nihon Hidankyo for the past 40 years, president of the Campaign for Peace, Disarmament, and Common Security, former vice president of the International Peace Bureau, and worked with AFSC. We welcome you to Democracy Now! In a moment, we're going to hear from Habakusha. But can you talk about the significance, Joe, of this group being awarded the Nobel Peace Prize?
I think there are two things to say. First of all, the courage of these people is staggering. I mean, to understand that the situation that they faced, literal hell, I mean, the descriptions of people that I know who, you know,